Saturday day to Wrestling Dinner Eruption in Whitesburg.
I can't find it here. Oh, so we had the shallot was like this, part of food cooked in a pot. Yeah, that's what we started with last time. Part of food cooked in a meaty pot. What is the dinner? Let's go straight to it. So halacha. Someone cooked potatoes in a meaty pot. So this is generally halacha. Someone cooked potatoes in a meaty pot. Let's talk about clean for the first time. Start with clean. So there's two shallots that arise normally in such a case. Shia number one, which you're going to speak about now today, hopefully as well, is are you allowed to eat milchik straight afterwards? It means you cook meat and potatoes, Moshi. Last night you had cholent. Let's say tonight. Tonight someone had cholent for lunch, for supper, at 8 o'clock. Cholent cleaned the pot out, and tomorrow for lunch, Moshi, he cooks potatoes in that pot. He cooked the potatoes, he eats the potatoes, and after potatoes, he wants to have a cheese sandwich, or he wants to eat a piece of cheese. Is he allowed to? That's shy number one, which we're going to speak about today, hopefully, most of you, yeah? Shy number two, which is much more homo, is actually that can you eat the potatoes itself with cheese? I mean, we're talking about, do you have to wait after eating the potatoes for 6 hours? Do you have the taste of meat inside the potatoes which makes you have to wait 6 hours? That's what we're talking about. There's another shy which we're not talking about now, and that is those potatoes which have got bleas or butter inside, can you put cheese on the potato? I don't know what it's called, a jacket potato. Can you have, is that a jacket potato? I think it's a jacket potato. Yeah, put a jacket potato. Can you put cheese on top of that potato? That is shy number two, which we're not talking about now. We're talking about waiting. So that's what we said yesterday, last time. And then Ramon says quite clearly, Miuim ain bosom atashel. If there's no meat in the food, rakshin is bashel begderishel bosom. It was just cooked in a meaty pot. Mutter lechol achrov gavina of ain by minig lachmi. You do not need to wait 6 hours. So that's a clear remark that there's no waiting time of 6 hours. If you cooked in a meaty pot, clean for the time being, potatoes, any power of food, no problem whatsoever. That's how we said last week. Then we said, not only that, but the shach goes much further. The shach says, what happens if you've got a pot which has got some residue of meat inside it? I mean, let's say, for example, someone cooked meat in a pot. He emptied out the pot, gave it a quick swish, a bit of water, and still a residue of gravy around the sides. And then you cook the potatoes inside there. So on that, the shach says that it's mutter. Now, there's a big machlokes what the shach's talking about. Some say the shach's talking about only when you had shishim against it. And others say it's not shishim, but you can't taste any meat there. And others say, even if there's meat there, that meat's got no chashivus at all, and there's no problem. So machlokes have to learn. And I say, if you can't taste, the possible mistake on it, if you can't taste any meat in that pot, there is no problem with doing that. Then we finished off last week with another chiddush, and that is, why is someone's cooking potatoes, for example, in an oven? And in the oven, there's meat which is cooking open. Everything's open. So you've got the steam and the reach going across in the oven into the potatoes. If you eat those potatoes, the chiddush was you do not need to wait 6 hours. The chiddush, actually. The aroma that goes in is not enough to make it that you have to wait 6 hours. Again, I'm not talking about if you can eat that potatoes with cheese. We're talking about now, if you eat those potatoes, do you have to wait 6 hours? And the answer to that is that you do not.
Even if it tastes of meat.
Even if what?
Even if you can taste the meat in the potatoes.
If you can taste the meat, it's probably much worse, but generally the zeya is not going to make you taste it normally.
One
McGovern.
One
cooking. It's very unlikely. If you can mummish taste it.
But one oven, potatoes are open, the meat's open. How can you not go in that late?
It goes in, but it's not enough to make it taste it.
Steam.
Right. In fact, I tell you that boy said, they speak about even more of a Kiddush. You know, sometimes you get, let's say, these harmonious meals, where you've got one full container broken up. In one section, you've got potatoes. And then next to it, you've got meat with gravy. And the other side, you've got vegetables. So let's say a person cooked, they put it in the oven, and he cooked it all. The maester, he comes out, he says, oh, he doesn't fancy the meat, he just wants the potatoes. Is he flashing after those potatoes?
And he was close.
Close, yeah, close. Sealed on top. Yeah, sealed on top. The maester says, it's all right. It's not, he's not fleishig. As far as I remember, he's not fleishig in such a case.
Even though it's all in one container.
Yeah, but the thing, it's not enough. You don't forget that we started the last week, when we started the shurim, the whole reason why you wait for bosor to have cheese after bosor is either because it's gone into your mouth, the shuman, you've got a fatty taste in your mouth, or you've got pieces in between your teeth. Here
what's
you haven't got any of that at all.
What's the difference if it's sealed or not sealed?
That's the worst.
Why can't I put any oven open? And
then
still have a potato separately and not
finish it. Yeah, they can. Both cases are worse. I'm talking about, in this case,
even
the airplane is even worse, Simcha. The airplane is even worse. It's completely sandwiched in there. It's trapped in the foil container there, mummy. It's just under the foil container.
Going back to your first casual, why couldn't you put cheese on the potatoes? If you say after potatoes you can have a cup of tea.
That you have to go to another ship, or I can't give everything away in one go. That I can't do.
No, but the answer is, it's we'll not fleshy. You're trying to say it's not fleshy.
I'm saying it's not fleshy to make you have to wait.
Sorry?
It's not fleshy and you have to wait. It hasn't got a time to make you wait 6 hours.
It's not fleshy.
I'm not saying it's not fleshy. Who says it's not fleshy? It could be it's meat to a certain degree, but not the waiting. It's not the
wait 2 minutes.
What?
You don't have to wait 2 minutes, like you say, you don't wait.
It's not, there's no shuman, there's no fatty residue in your mouth, and there's no something in between your things. Right, so today, what's supposed to be the share was very interesting today is, if you cut onions with a meaty knife, and you eat the onion, let's say, for example, yeah? So now, say, Charlie, can I eat cheese afterwards? So you cut an onion with a meaty knife. Now, taste, we're not going to say, this goes in. Can I eat milchik afterwards? Not to put cheese on the onion, but to eat milchik afterwards. So here's an instance. Let's just start with a dob of chorif. Now, this is a very unique thing. I don't know how it works. But Chazal Baruch Kotram know that taste gets infused in something which is very, very sharp. Such sharp foods have got a koyach to extract from an item the belias, the absorption. It's Chazal says it's not just sharp foods, it has to be sharp foods with a pressure. There has to be a cutting action with a sharp food. I mean, for example, someone's got a meaty knife and he cuts an onion with a meaty knife. So the sharp food, which an onion is called sharp, together with the pressure of the knife cutting through it, those two together make it that the blee is remarkable how it works this, the absorption in the knife, which is meaty, comes out and goes into the onion. Even if it's a clean knife, what? So that's what I'm telling you. Taste doesn't mean, taste is only a very strong taste, but it's still meaty. You can have, like we have with the pot, and once you cook, let's say, for example, potatoes in a meaty pot, which is clean. So you can't taste any meat in those potatoes. But in my sense, you can't eat those potatoes with cheese. It's to a certain degree meaty. It's got a taste of meat inside, but it's not enough to make you have to wait 6 hours for. The waiting of 6 hours is only when you have proper item of BN of food, where it makes a fatty residue in your mouth, or it gets stuck in your teeth. Other than that, there's no. So this remarkable thing actually, the dollar chorev works even a week later. It's an amazing thing, actually.
Now the whole onion flies, or can I take another knife and take a slice off and use the other?
I don't know how far it goes in, but if the blade is, if you've got 60 times that amount, I have to check it out, if you've got 60 times the blade of the knife, then it won't spread further than that, so it can't spread further. But that bit where it's cut, you have to cut off a certain amount. So what's called a sharp food? So I'll give a few examples. The one speaks of a radish. I must say, I never understood why a radish is sharp. It's what we have on Pesach night, the radish, yeah? Why a radish is called sharp, I'm not sure why, but Chazal's typical example of a dor chorif is called a radish. I don't know. Other things Chazal say are sharp foods, includes garlic, onions, it's called sharp. Leek also is a chiddush, it's called. It's all the same family. A leek and onion is the same family, but it's also called sharp foods. Horseradish, olives is also called sharp. Sour fruits and vegetables, lemon, esrog, sour apples, sour plums, pickled fruits and vegetables, maybe sour pickles, and salted herring. These are all examples of foods that are called a dovah chorev, a sharp food. And these foods have got a power. If you cut with them, a meaty knife. I must tell you something before we carry on, first of all. When I talk about a meaty knife, it's not such a common thing, a meaty knife. A meaty knife means... Let's come to the Dovagish. So, Pashtus, a meaty knife, first of all, we start about anything, is the Maise. It's been used in a Kali Rishon. Once a food item goes into a Kali Sheni or Kali Shlishi, it's lost its koyach. So when you, let's say you're eating your schnitzel at home on your plate, it's come from a Kali Rishon, a Kali Sheni, a Kali Shlishi, whatever it is, Pashtus, really, that hasn't got the din of mamish being meaty. But he's quite right, there's a chumra in here there called a dover gush. A dover gush is that, for example, an item which is a solid. A dover gush is a solid. Let's say, for example, someone's got, let's talk about Shabbat, let's start with Shabbat. Let's say, for example, someone has got a chicken soup on the fire. So he takes the pot off the fire, that is called a keli rishon. He puts a ladle in, let's make it recorder. He puts a ladle in and he ladles out soup from there into a tureen. Now let's ignore the ladle. There's a big question why a ladle is called another Kali because something stays there longer. Let's ignore the ladle. But the tureen is definitely a Kali Sheni. Then he takes from the tureen, Kali Sheni, into your soup plate. That is a Kali Shlishi. Going to all dayas, at least in your soup plate now, it's a Kali Shlishi, which helps the Gabbai help the Shabbos, for example. What's it relevant to help the Shabbos for Rabbi Yisrael? Anyone know? For example, you could put challah in your keli shlishi. Even though we hold yesh bishlach afia, there's a problem. But I might say the keli shlishi is no problem. Now, the same story, if someone takes kegel, he's got a potato kegel in the oven, he takes it out, and his wife cuts it up, puts it onto a platter, so the chot should be keli sheni, then you take from the platter, put it into your plate, should be a keli shlishi. Should be. But some poskim machmir, it comes from here a day actually, from here what we're learning, some poskim machmir, that when you've got a solid food item, the solid food item retains the heat in itself. I mean, it's a liquid. When you transfer liquid from a chicken soup pot to a tureen, the walls of the tureen are cold. The chicken soup spreads all around the walls, it cools it down. And therefore, when you take it now from the tureen and put it into your soup plate, it's cooled down again. The soup plate's cold, it cools it all down. So many poskim say, that's very good, it's very okay, shlishi. Masha ache when you've got a piece of kegel, hop kegel, and you take it out from your foil container in the oven. You put it onto a platter, but it's true, the bottom is touching a cold wall, but the whole piece of kegel itself is boiling hot. It's nothing, it's cooling it down. And then when you transfer it further into your plate, so the bottom of where your kegel's touching is cold, but the rest of it retains its heat. So many poskim hold that by a dover gush, it still retains its heat.
Fancy caterers.
It warmed
the plates up. And all the soups
on the should stay very hot. Yeah, true. But 1 minute, first of all, where are they warming up on where?
Where are they warming up? They have special warmers.
A warmer's not a Kali Rishon, I don't think. A warmer can get to...
The plate is hot, so the soup shouldn't get cold.
Yeah, but it's an interesting point we say. That means if you put the plate in the oven and the plate gets hot, that's zikha Kali Rishon. If the plate goes in the oven, it's zikha Kali Rishon. But if you put it on a plate, let's say it's like a warmer, it's a warmer, I don't think it's called a Kali Rishon, because you can't cook in there normally. A warmer keeps things warm. He can't cook.
No, he tied it that the soup doesn't cool down.
Get the plate,
get it hot.
I hear what you're saying. I tell you that makes sense. Oh, you're saying the plate doesn't get cold. The soup doesn't get cold.
Yes. The plate is hot. It's not cooling hot. It's not your syllabus. The plate's not your syllabus. It's warm.
He's tying the liquid doesn't go down.
If you put hot soup in a plastic plate, the boy is
sick. You can put your finger in a case of sushi and you still burn it.
We're not done with that.
You can put your finger in your beard. You've got a
shalva
shetler.
The poskim hold it's a kind of instrument and say, because you put it on the actual fire.
In the fire.
So you see, that if it's cooled direct from the fire, that is considered like a kind of instrument.
I think
enough.
I don't think it's enough for Menachem Dorbin. So Fanny's in a warmer, it's not good. If you put, I mean, I watched what to do with him, I said that he came out with soup. The soup was put in the oven. He went into these metal containers, the metal containers were in the oven. That's true. That metal container's been heated up. That's like a ladle, the child of a ladle. If you put a ladle inside the air and then the Kenny Rishon on the fire. That I understand. In your case over here, where it's just warm, even though it's warm, I don't think it's got this matter. Right, so coming over to here, Dov HaChor. So Dov HaChor has got a dinner of sharp food items, So again, the item that we're talking about is meaty. It has to be meaty, proper meaty. That means if, for example, someone cut with his, someone's got a knife in his drawer, in his kitchen drawer, which he only uses for cold schnitzel. That knife is not halakhically fleishig, because it's only used for cold. If you cut an onion now with that knife, that onion is not fleishig. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
You with me, Moshi?
Yeah.
It has to be, the knife has to be fleishig, properly fleishig, to make it that when you cut the onion, the onion is fleishig. If wherever he is, the knife is not mummy's fleishig. I'm saying someone's got a knife in his cupboard, which he only uses for cold schnitzel or a cold meat. He never cuts hot with it. That knife is not going to be a problem. But we're talking about a knife which either you use in a Kali Rishon Mamish or your Machmir for Dov HaKush, let's say. So the mice, you cut now an onion with this, what do you call it? With this knife. As long as you add the knife, so again, the same halach is you are not fleishig. And therefore, you can eat cheese straight afterwards. The onion's fleishig, you can't eat it with cheese. But you are not fleishig, you have to wait 6 hours. So if someone eats that onion, he is not fleishig to wait 6 hours.
The Kiddush schnitzel is kasher to the gush.
What?
Piece of schnitzel is kasher to the gush.
If it's hot,
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 hot.
Yeah, most of these fodders
are. When you cut that schnitzel off with the knife, then that's a problem.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that, Dov HaKush, you're right.
Yeah, but it's kasher to the gush.
Yeah, he's right. I'm just telling you that a Dov HaKush l'chumra, especially in the Hilchot, yeah, so you have to know how far we go with this. So nice of a if you cut a hot piece of schnitzel with a Dov HaKush, Now the other shayla that comes out also is very interesting. One is if someone's got on the same plate, let's say potatoes and meat, and they touch each other.
What do you mean they touch each other?
They touch it, Moshe. You got on your plate meat and potatoes. And the mice, let's talk about cold first of all. Right? The meat and potatoes are touched. They touch. So now you eat the potato. Are you fleishig?
No meat on the potato, just touched.
Just touched it. So there's no shamnunis there, there's nothing mummies there on it. You're not fleishig. You don't become fleishig. Yeah? It's probably better to wash it. If someone knows you're going to do that, it's probably better to wash it first. That's probably a better thing to do. But if someone didn't wash it, l'chayr, he does not become fleishig. L'chayr is not fleishig. What? If there's a residue, that's much worse. And if there's a residue on the potato, let's
say.
Very good. If there's a residue on the potato, that's Mamis Yishar we spoke about before, the Shach, where a person's got a kudera which has got remnants of bosa in, and you cooked potatoes in it. So some learn in the Shach that you have to have shishim against that. Others learn there must be no taste. And others learn that that small amount has got no chashivas whatsoever. You're not intending to use, got no kashimas, you do not have to wait. So that's a machlokes, how you pass them, that's ask one's local rabbi. It's an interesting what can happen. Sometimes things can touch, and one has to know what happens. Another interesting thing I saw is also very interesting, it's very, again, the wash of spurt me in shuls. Let's say someone wants to make a cup of coffee, so he's fleishig. So he goes to take some sugar, but in the sugar you can see someone's put a milky spoon. Someone's stirred his tea with what do you call it? And inside the sugar, you can see it's a calorie, which has obviously been in milk. What would you say, Rabbi? Can you put that in your tea?
No.
Someone
say again.
Someone comes to Machzika Das in the morning, wants to have in the afternoon, he wants to have a cup of tea. Black tea, he's fleishig. So he goes, he or she wants to have a black tea. Yeah. Like carp harbour tea. He's fleishig. He goes on to the sugar, he needs sugar in his tea. He can't have a tea without sugar. He goes to the sugar thing, he sees inside the sugar there, he sees some lipids of brown. Someone's had a coffee before him with milky coffee, he stirred it and put it back into the sugar. So there's a bit of milk in that sugar. Is there a problem?
What's in the sugar?
What?
If If it's fleshy, what's he
going to
do?
Should he not have the sugar?
Oh, he hasn't drank it.
Yeah, not drank it. Should he, is he allowed to take that sugar from
there?
Is he allowed, right, to use that sugar, or is he not? He says that's mutter. Because that little bit of milk in there, when he puts it in his tea, it's going to be bottled with shishim. What? Yeah, no, it's interesting. First of all, it's not about the sugar. What?
It's not
the
coffee.
He's got what? I mean, you mustn't do it in a chatchila. That's what Chaim's asking. He's asking Kashi the Chola. How you can't have it's in a chatchila. Okay, I have to shut up. Okay, everybody, we'll stop then.
It's a coffee machine. You could never know the previous guy's in a mug of milky coffee. Milk is dropping in.